Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, let's begin at verse 14. And down to 18. John says, "The Word," which is Jesus, "the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he is before me, or he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.'" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We're just going to bow together in prayer and ask God's direction in this as we look into it for a couple minutes this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your goodness toward us all, Lord. We realize, Lord, that we don't deserve anything. And Father, we don't stand in our own goodness. We don't stand in our own righteousness because we've got nothing to stand in. But Father, we stand in the righteousness of Jesus. So Father, as we look into the Word of God this morning, we pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. And God, give us wisdom, give us guidance, and help us, Lord, to live in the freedom that you've purchased for us. Guide us and direct us. Be with us, Lord, throughout this day. Even as we go out after the service, Lord, we go out into the park, Lord, for a time of fellowship together out there. And Father, just be with us at that picnic, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We've been going through, and we finished up last Sunday on the book of Galatians. And we've been making a big distinction between the Old Testament law and the New Testament grace. And we've used the platform up here as over on this side we always talk about the law, over on this side we always talk about grace. So I got so used to using it now, maybe do the same thing again this morning. But under the Old Covenant, there were lots of things that if you try to understand God by reading the Old Testament, as I mentioned many times, it's difficult sometimes to understand everything because it seemed like God is so cruel. But if you come over in the New Testament, you see Jesus, and Jesus is so loving and so meek and so mild and so kind and considerate, and it seems like, you know, it's totally two different pictures of God. So some people say, well, what is the true God? You know, where is the true God? What is it? Is he like the Old Testament God, or is he like Jesus? Well, the answer is both, and I'm going to explain that in a minute. You see, well, I'll explain it now. Under the Old Covenant, the children of Israel made a covenant with God, and God gave them the Ten Commandments, and they said, "Everything you said, we will do." And from that time on, every sin that they committed was judged immediately. And over here in the New Testament, Jesus already paid for our sin. So when you sin today, you don't get the same judgment that you received under the Old Testament, because now Jesus already bore the punishment for your sin. So a lot of times when people look at the Old Covenant right here, and they look at God right here and see what's going on here, they just don't understand why God is this way in the Old Testament and totally different in the New Testament. Well, the difference is, many times, the cross is in the middle. Jesus paid for our sin on the cross. Now, we're just going to use a couple things here this morning just to make a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. As you know, in your scriptures, you have two sections in your Bible. You have the Old Testament and you have the New Testament. And I heard a fellow preaching years ago, and we're in Toronto. We were passing through, actually. We saw an advertisement of the services going on, so we went in. And he said when he got saved, he was 17 years old when he gave his heart to the Lord. He was sick and bedridden for, I think it was 16 months or something like that. And his blood, he said, the doctors told him he had, you know, he wasn't going to live. His blood, he said, instead of being red, his blood came out orange. He said his entire body was shutting down. And anyway, he was reading the scriptures one day, and he said he got the Bible out, and 17 years old, he said he didn't know much about what to read. He said, but I had enough sense to realize, he said, if one was old and one was new, he said, I better start with the new one. He said that one overrode the old one. And a lot of times we need to use the very same common sense that we read the New Testament. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying don't read the Old Testament. We need to read the Old Testament. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is in the New Testament. And that's where you get your salvation. Now, back under the Old Covenant, We have Mount Sinai, where, how many have ever seen the Ten Commandments on TV? Moses going up into the mountain and all these different things. Okay, we have Mount Sinai, okay, which is in Arabia, the Bible says. And then over here, we have what we call Mount Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. Over here in Mount Sinai, we see God's holiness being displayed. God gave him the Ten Commandments. The fire came. Remember, the fire came down, the smoke in the mountain. The Bible says God's presence was so heavy up on the mountain that the rocks began to split. When God's presence came down upon the mountain, and the children of Israel looked on, the Bible says, and all they could see was just a cloud of smoke coming up, like a furnace coming up from the top of the mountain. And the earth started to shake, and we don't have time to get into all of it right now, but God told Moses, he said, put a fence around the bottom of the mountain so that nobody comes close. He said, because he said, if my power breaks through, it'll consume them. And Moses said, we've already done that. And God said, well, you go down and make sure that it's ready. He said, because he said, when I come down upon the mountain, he said, anybody comes close to the mountain, he said, it'll be killed. And so anyway, this is what happened. And as I said, the smoke and everything started to, you know, lightning and everything. The mountain began to shake and the ground. And God's presence came down and it frightened the children of Israel so much. They said to Moses, they said, tell God, never do that again. They said, from now on, get God to speak to you. You bring the message to us, but don't, tell him don't do that anymore. And so this is, you know, under the old covenant. So here we have God's holiness being displayed upon Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments told us what God expected. Is, you know, if you're going to live, if you're going to try it in your own power to live to please God, this is what you got to do. You got to keep those Ten Commandments. Now, that was God's holiness. Over here in Mount Calvary, we see God's love being displayed. You see, the Bible tells us, greater love has no man than this. Jesus said in John chapter 15, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus came, you know the story, Jesus came, gave his life, surrendered his life on our behalf. You see, over here, God said, if anybody breaks this law, the punishment is death. Remember, the Bible tells over in Romans, the wages of sin is death. So anyone who breaks this law, the punishment is death. Jesus, over here, the Bible says, God, the Father, laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. All of our sin, all your past sin, your present sin, your future sin. Okay? And anyone who's going to be born today and is going to live another 100 years, their sin. And anybody who's going to be born 100 years from now, should Jesus tarry, their sin is already taken care of. You understand that? Okay, the price has already been paid for their sin forever. The Bible says he offered one sacrifice for sin forever. Now, so over here, God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Jesus, the law demanded, see here, see this is why the Bible says Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus said, don't think, he said, I've come to condemn the law. He said, I've come to fulfill it. To fulfill the law, if anybody sinned, they had to die. Jesus took all of our sin, and therefore the law pronounced a judgment upon him, you have to die. And Jesus hung on the cross, paid the price, and gave up the ghost, the Bible says. Now, here's something. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross between two thieves? The Bible says that the soldiers came along, and there was a thief on each side. The soldiers came along, and they broke the legs of the thieves so that it would hasten up their death. Okay? Now, but when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. And if you look at that and don't understand what's going on, you say, was he weaker than the rest of them? What happened? You know, was he not so strong as the rest of them that he couldn't take it? We need to understand something. First of all, that Jesus all that night was being tortured and beaten and you know, whipped and all these different things, left just about dead anyway on the whipping post and finally brought. But that's not the reason. Jesus was dead before the thieves, not because he was weaker, but he came for a purpose. He came to give his life. They never took his life from him. The Bible tells us they never took his life. He gave his life. And when the price was paid and the sin was laid upon him and everything was looked after, Jesus, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus, he said, I got a power, he said, to lay down my life. And he said, I've got power to bring it back up again. Now, so this is just a little sideline there, but we need to understand that Calvary was totally different than Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, when the law was given, God's holiness was displayed. Over here, God's holiness was still displayed. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And God's wrath against sin was still displayed. It was displayed, and that was poured out upon Jesus. And Jesus hung on the cross. His sacrifice paid for our sin forever. He fulfilled the law. He died, paid for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. So every person on this planet can have salvation in what Jesus did. Now, over here, and I'm just going to touch on a few things here. Over here on Mount Sinai, when the law was given, remember when Moses, the first time Moses went up to the mountain, came down and the people had made the golden calf, and they're all dancing around and worshiping this golden calf that they made, and they said, "This is the God that brought us out of Egypt." You know, how stupid is people, you know, the thing. Anyway, that's a different subject. And they were bowing down and worshiping this piece of metal and figured this is what brought us out of Egypt. And the Bible says God's wrath was kindled, and on that day, 3,000 died. Remember that? Now, let's go over to Calvary. On the day of Pentecost, when a church was born, let me explain this again. Over here on Mount Sinai, the law was given 50 days after the Passover. Remember the sacrifice to Passover came out of Egypt, came across the Red Sea? 50 days after that, the law was given. You ask any Jew today, you ask any Jew anywhere, what is Pentecost? What does Pentecost represent to them? To the Jew, is the giving of the law. Okay, now Pentecost is different for us, but to the Jewish people, they think of when the law was given. Okay, and when the law was given, 3,000 people died. Come over to the Pentecost in the New Testament. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place, in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now notice this, and there appeared unto them tongues, cloven tongues, as of fire. Okay, now, back here they saw the fire come down on the first Pentecost, but it came down and showed God's wrath and God's power and everything else. Over here, when the fire came down, it signified the Holy Spirit was coming, and it was the birthday of the church. This Pentecost over here, the first Pentecost, 3,000 died. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved. You see the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, between law and grace? You see, it's a totally different thing. You see, I've said this many times, we get people saved. We come in and somebody come and give their hearts to the Lord, and we rejoice with them and everything else. And then we say, now, in order to be a good Christian, this is what you got to do. And we give them a big list of rules to try to keep again. Remember what Paul said to the Galatians. I keep going back to Galatians, probably will for a few weeks yet, because it's still in there, you know, thick. And Paul says, "You foolish Galatians." He said, "Do you think," he said, "you started out in the spirit, that now you can perfect yourself by living in the flesh? You think you can please God by the way that you keep rules? You know, eat this, don't eat this, don't drink this, wear this, don't wear this, don't do that." He said, "That's not how you serve God." He said, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink and all the," he said, "but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." You understand that? So you're not serving God by how good you can keep rules. I can guarantee you, and we've all been through this, when you try to serve God by keeping rules, you eventually burn out. You get discouraged. That's why a lot of people have served God over the years. They've tried it out sometimes as young people growing up in church, and everything was so strict and the laws are so stringent and everything else that people just said, I can't live it. I can't do it. Now, that's exactly what the law was brought in for. The law was brought in to show us that we can't do it. We need a Savior. You see, Paul says, or James says, and back in Deuteronomy he said the same thing, and Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, I think it was, if you're going to obey the law, you've got to keep all the law. If you're going to obey the law, James said, if you fail in one point, you're just as guilty as if you broke the old law. You understand that? Okay, so you say, well, I've never done these big bad sins, but there's other things that you've done that you've thought. Jesus said, it's not only what you're doing, but what you're thinking as well. Now, some people don't understand that. They say, why would Jesus seem like he's more strict than the law was? No, he was just interpreting the law to them. He said, you've heard that has been said, you know, thou shalt not do this. He said, but I say, he said, if you do this, you know, that you've heard, he said, that, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, I'm telling you, he said, even if you think about it. You see, he brought the law, the spirit of the law. Now, so the purpose of the law was to show us, listen, man, I just want to give up now. I just can't do it. I just can't live as holy as the law says I got to live. Okay, now this is exactly what the law was given. Paul tells us in Galatians that the law was given to bring us to Christ, to show us that we needed a Savior. And when the Savior came, he said, we're no longer under the law. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, he said, sin will no longer have dominion over you. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you are saved? You don't have to put up your hands, but in your own heart now. How many of you are saved, but still battle sometime with sin? Okay? Some of you are brave enough to put up your hands. I can put mine up. We all have. And that's the whole purpose of the law. The law, see, there's a couple of scriptures I want to look at. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I got a lot of scriptures in there. We're certainly not going to get into them this morning now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We try to serve God by keeping all these rules. And as I said, we eventually burn out. We come to the end of ourselves and say, I just can't keep it anymore. This is what happened to a lot of people in church over the years. You know, we said, you got to do this, you got to do that. You can't do this on Sunday. You can't do this. You can't be here. You can't do this. And we laid in a pile of rules and said, now you got to try to keep that in your own strength. Now, don't misunderstand. The rules probably weren't bad. The problem is you're too weak to keep them. Okay, the Ten Commandments weren't bad. The Bible says they're holy, they're pure. God gave them to show us the standard that we should measure up to. And the Bible says we've all sinned, we've all come short of that. Okay, now, there's none righteous, no, not one. So the law was brought in to show us that this is too high for me to try to do it my own power. It's why Jesus had to come. He fulfilled the law perfectly, and the righteousness that the law demanded, Jesus had that righteousness because he came in, and the Bible says there was no sin in him, there was no guile in his mouth, he was without sin, he was absolutely pure, and because of that, God takes his pureness, the pureness of Jesus, and gives it to me when I put my trust in Jesus. Now, so when you're trying to serve God by all these rules, you eventually run out of steam, and you just can't do it anymore. As I said, this is why the law was given. We cannot keep all the rules of the law. Now, let me explain something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Now notice what he says here. We're not anything in ourselves, but our sufficiency, our strength and our power and everything else comes from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. Now notice what he says here. The letter kills. Now remember the Ten Commandments? When the law was given, death came. Okay? The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, you understand that there's a big difference there. You see, we've tried to still live under the old covenant. The letter, living by the law, living by rules and everything else, you destroy more people, you drive them from church, you drive them from God. When you laid in a pile of rules, you got to try to keep. You cannot keep them. You cannot keep in your own strength. Okay, so what he's saying, the letter will kill you. He said, but the Spirit over here will give you life. Now, notice what it goes on to say. If the ministry of death... Now here's something else. The Bible tells us that the law is holy. Okay? The law is holy. The Ten Commandments, they're holy. But all they did was ministered death to us. Okay? And condemnation. Paul said, I didn't even know what covetousness was. He said, until the law said, thou shalt not covet. And then he said, everything within me start coveting. You understand that? The law is holy, the law is pure, the law is just, and the law was given to show us God's standards, but it was given to show us that we cannot meet it in ourselves. You can't make it yourself, you need someone to do it for you. And this is where Jesus comes in. He came and fulfilled the law and gave the credit to you, give the credit to me. Now, so we get his righteousness. So the Bible says here, the ministry of death. Now, what is the ministry of death? You talk to a lot of people and you say, well, listen, Ten Commandments ministers death. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, it's not me. This is what Paul said. This is what the Scripture says. Okay, the ministry of death, notice what he says here, engraved on stones. Now, what part of the law was engraved on stones? Ten Commandments. Okay? The ministry of death that was engraved on stones. If the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly on Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, the old covenant was passing away, he's saying. He said, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Okay? If this, the Ten Commandments, living under the Ten Commandments, if that was a glorious thing to have that relationship with God, he said, how much more glorious is it to have the relationship that we have today with God? Let's read on again. He said, verse 9, if the ministry of condemnation, see this ministry, the Ten Commandments condemn you. Okay, condemn you, everything you did, the Ten Commandments are there to remind you that you're doing wrong. You understand that? This was the ministration of death, the ministration of condemnation. Notice what he says again. If the ministry of condemnation had glory, if this was glorious back under the old covenant, he said the ministry of righteousness exceeds more in glory. You understand the difference there? See, under the old covenant, over here, the laws is do. Do this. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't, you know, it was just a pile of do's and don'ts. How many people have ever heard people say, I'm not going to church, all to do is there is power, you know, pile of do's and don'ts. Anybody ever hear that? Well, that's what the law. See, this you go to a church where all they do is preach the law. Now, I'm not knocking churches, but you know, but if we just preach the law continuously, you leave people discouraged and frustrated, and just can't make it because it condemns them. I can't measure up to that. You understand that? The law says do. Grace says it's already been done. Jesus already paid the price for you. You understand it? The law says work. Grace says rest in what Jesus already did. This is why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He wasn't talking about people who work in ditches and all. He's talking about people spiritually who are struggling, trying to please God. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. The Bible says, by grace you're saved through faith. He said, that's a gift from God. Not of works, lest anyone will boast. I don't know if I'm making this clear enough to you this morning or not, but there's a difference between the law and grace. I just jotted down a pile of different things here this morning. Actually, I was piddling around with this last night and got up this morning and added a few more things to it. So here's the law says do, grace says done. The law says it's all in your efforts, man's efforts. Grace is no, it's already done in Christ's finished work. The law says work, grace is rest in Christ. Under the law, your sins are remembered. Remember the Bible tells in Hebrews? He said under the old covenant, he said there was a remembrance of sin made every year. On the Day of Atonement, they had to go and offer a sacrifice again. The priest would lay his hand upon an animal, pronounce all the sins of Israel, lay it upon the animal, take the animal, they cut his throat, drain the blood out. Now, it was cruel, but it's what had to happen. They drained the blood out. Then the other animal was taken and led out into the wilderness far away to signify that your sins are gone. You'll never see them again. Now, but every year they had to go through it again because the Bible says the blood of bulls and goats could no longer atone for sin. Could not atone for sin. And every year they would go through the same thing again to offer a sacrifice to cover their sin for another. Now notice, how many has ever, I know you fellows don't do this, how many have been sweeping up the floor and somebody came by and you swept it under the rug or something so nobody will see it? Or you get your dishes all in the sink and you take them and shove them in the dishwasher or put a towel over the sink or something like that so people wouldn't see them. You fellows are too holy to do that stuff. But this is what was happening to the sins. Every year they are covered for a year. But every year the cover was lifted off and God would look at the sin again and say, listen, we need another payment. Okay? And they would take another animal, sacrifice it. Okay? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible says. And something had to die to pay for sin. The soul that sins shall surely die. God allowed them to use a substitute. Now, Jesus paid one sacrifice for sin forever. Okay? Now, under this covenant, your sins are remembered every year. But under this covenant, he said, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. See the difference? See the difference in the covenants? Over here, it all depended upon your right doing. Okay, you do right, you get blessed. You do bad, you get cursed. Okay? Over here, it all depends on your right standing. You stand on His righteousness. Over here is all about right living. This is why you get people today, and listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not giving a license to sin. Paul said the same thing. He said, we're not giving a license to sin. He said, but here's the point. We don't come out all the time in every sermon just preaching against sin, 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 all the time. You talk about something over and over and over, all you do is just keep it in people's minds all the time. Now, you might not understand that. This is why the law, Paul says the law was the strength of sin. The more you preach about the law, more sin took place. Now, let me explain that in a minute. Right here, it all depended on right living in order to please God. Over here is right believing. You understand that? I mean, there's a big difference. Right here, you had to live right in order to please God. Over here, you got to believe right to please God. Over here, all this was doing, this wasn't the way, it was only pointing the way. The law was pointing to Christ. You need a Savior. You can't do it yourself, you need a Savior. The law was pointing the way. Jesus said, I am the way. The law was pointing to the truth, to Jesus. Jesus came along and says, I am the truth. The law was the administration of death. Jesus said, I am the life. You see the difference in it? See, the Bible tells us, and I'm going to finish up with this because the time is running out. The Bible tells us, Romans chapter 6, verse 14. He says, sin will no longer have dominion over you. I asked you earlier, how many of you still battle with sin? The reason we battle with sin is because we're trying to do it in our own strength, trying to live. We get saved under the new covenant, but we try to live a good life by keeping the rules of the old covenant. Can't work that way. Paul said, are you so foolish thinking that you started out in the spirit? He said, that you're going to be perfected in the flesh? You can't do it. You got to be perfected in the spirit. Now, he says, sin will no longer have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under law. Remember, law gives strength to sin. That's what the Bible says. Okay, we just talk about it as administration of death, it's administration of condemnation. We talk about this at funerals all the time in Corinthians, there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? He said, the sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. So the Bible says, the strength, the thing that gives sin strength. You could listen. I heard Kenneth Hagin said years ago. Somebody said to him, he said, you know, if you're going to preach grace and preach that we're already forgiven and Christ has already paid for all of our sin, and you're going to preach that so strong, he said, you're going to give people a license of sin. Kenneth Hagin said to him, he said, you notice that people are already sinning. He said, they don't have a license. You're still sinning. Right? The more you preach on the law, the more you give strength to sin. That's what the Bible says. The strength of sin is the law. So you preach on law, 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 law. You got all kinds of problems, sin, and everything going on. But you preach on grace. See, over here, the law says you got to be righteous. Over here, grace gives you righteousness. You understand the difference? Over here, the law says you got to live up to all these different things, and then you'll become righteous. Over here, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that He's given us the gift of righteousness. There's a big difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And see, what we've done over the years, we've tried to get people to live under the old covenant. Say, listen, you got to keep all these rules, and you get them saved, and you give them a list of rules. Now, if you want to be a good Christian, do this. Same thing as the Galatians. You want to be a good Christian? Remember the Judaizers came in? These are people that were Jews that got saved. They came in and said, listen, you can be a Christian, but you got to keep the law of Moses. Read Acts chapter 15. You got to keep the law of Moses. You got to be circumcised. You got to, you know, obey the Sabbath day. You got to do all these different things. You got to have dietary foods and all these different things. Certain, you know, and then you'll be a good Christian. Paul said, "No, that's not the case." Over here, he said, "That was just symbols. That was just, you see, these are just lessons. These are flannel graph lessons. For you are old enough to understand what a flannel graph is. These are flannel graph lessons to point to Jesus. But the Jews came in and thought this was the real thing." He said, no, that wasn't a real thing. That was only a shadow. The substance was over here in Jesus. You know what it's like? You got a shadow? I got a shadow up here this morning. That's not me. That's just a shadow. This is the real substance. Okay? All these things were shadows of Jesus, but the substance was in him. These are just pictures, but the reality was in Christ. What they had in ceremonies and everything else, we now have in reality in Jesus when you put your trust in him. And one more thing, and I've said this dozens of times. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, when you get into Jesus, shall all be made alive. Okay, there's a big difference between the two covenants. If we haven't got time to finish to go any farther, I've gone 5 minutes over already. So that's double time. Anyway, we're just going to finish off the service this morning. But if you're here this morning, and listen, you don't know Jesus, and you've been trying to serve him by rules and regulations and ceremonies and rituals and keeping certain days and certain festivals throughout the year. Paul said, he said, I'm afraid of you fellows. He said, you keep days and months and new moons and Sabbaths and all these different things. You know, he said, your righteousness is not found in that. Your righteousness is found in Jesus. That's another message again. But if you're here and you've been trying to serve God by keeping all these rules, you know you burned out and you give it up and say, listen, I can't. If church is like that, I have nothing else to do with it. Listen, if church is like that, I don't want anything else to do with it either, because I know I can't do it. Okay? It's in what Jesus did for me on Calvary. Our trust is in him. We're clothed in his righteousness, not in our own. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. So listen, you know, I've never ever heard the gospel that way. I never ever heard that, you know, he gives me his righteousness. I don't have to try to work at my own righteousness. He already worked it out for me. If you're here like that this morning, I'd like to challenge you this morning. Just a very simple prayer. Say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you to come into my life, and I make you my Lord and Savior. You don't have to have the exact words. God's not so concerned about the words as he is about the attitude of your heart. When you say from your heart and say, God, I need you as a Savior, that's all it requires. The thief on the cross said to Jesus, he said, remember me when you go into your kingdom. That's all that was required. You see, we try to get all the rules, and again, we can make salvation so stringent that people don't even want to do that. It's just so simply as saying, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. If you say that from the bottom of your heart, you mean that. God will save you. Your sins are gone forever. God will never bring them up to you again. And you'll never have to worry, you know, when I stand before God, is he going to bring up this? Is he going to show all the world what I did? Is he going to? No, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. No more.